Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Hello and welcome to the Draft Doctors Podcast. Hope you're having a great week. AFLX is done, JLT is in full swing, and footy is almost here. This episode, we will discuss the players we each absolutely have to draft, be it early or late. The guys you've got way up on your board and you're not quite sure when to pull the trigger because you've got the my boy blinders on. We are talking the Bailey Williams of the world. It's the my boy show. I'm Doss here with Stevie Fizz. What's happening?
Well, I'm just contemplating how bored I'll be in 3 weeks when all the drafts are done and real footy's on. Really the worst time of the year when real footy's on and you don't get to speculate.
Yeah, exactly. That's the time we all love to see. All right. And we've also got someone keen to talk about Matt Kennedy and Matthew Broadbent. It's Jono. What's going on?
Certainly not me because I'll be playing VFL this year. But g'day, listeners. And I'm ready to go talking about my boys. Not so much Bailey Williams-esque like you, Doss, but certainly got a few up my sleeves and I'm very keen on this year.
And we've also got who'll join us shortly. I think he's dropped out, according to me, but he's going to name every Cat player as his boy, and that's Cam. Is he on the line, or are we missing Cam at the moment?
Yeah, g'day, guys. G'day, listeners. And thanks to everyone for tuning into the broadcast of my home league's draft yesterday. I am very happy with how it went and learnt a lot about not using a 5-minute pick limit and having someone in Dubai not be able to actually draft pretty much half the draft. So I apologize for all the auto drafting. That was a bit of a pain in the bum. And if you're wondering, yes, I am brutally hungover today.
Yeah, it went pretty well, Cam. Had a little look myself there. Pretty good draft and something we might do a little bit more in the future there. All right. Has anyone got our hashtag hype of the week nomination for this week? Jono, you got us one.
Certainly do, and all kicked off on Thursday night when Nick Newman lined up for the Carlton Footy Club. He said, Cade Simpson, you're old, get the hell out of the way, I'm taking the kick-ins, I'm young. So he took all the kick-ins, he took 8 marks, had plenty of the ball, and guess what? He actually got time on ground. He played 87% of the game. So it's all about Nick Newman. Fantasy scores were out of this world and everyone's jumping on, whether it be draft or salary cap. So Nick Newman, no longer a sleeper, but certainly going up everyone's draft boards.
Our hashtag hype of the week, and there's so many nominations when JLT is on. And we will have a little brief JLT review before we get underway in this episode. And I want one thing each, only one, from the JLT. We'll start with you. Jono, what have you got?
I've noticed the wingmans have really come into the game. A lot of players going up and down the lines instead of trying to get through that central corridor. So could be something to watch for next week, especially looking out for maybe drafting wingmen.
What about you, Steve?
Yeah, one thing I've noticed, I've been on Twitter a lot, and you know, obviously people are getting really excited about certain players having big games and looking to slot them into their teams or move them up their draft boards. And I really think it's important that we take stock of who's actually not there in the matches. Like, and I'll point to the North Melbourne game, especially where they played St Kilda. And North Melbourne had a pretty fantasy-friendly day, number of tons. So Dom Tyson had a ton. Paul Ahern got a really nice 87. Luke Davies, Uniac, he scored really well as well. But the thing that was missing, like Sean Higgins played very limited time on ground. Jack Zeeble played very limited time on ground. But you had one of the best contested players in the AFL in Ben Cunnington, who I know isn't a fantasy star, but he sucks up so much contested ball. The guy averaged over 15 contested touches a game last season. Those guys aren't going to be getting those numbers when he returns, and I think you can say a similar thing about like GWS. Like Josh Kelly wasn't there. Like it, to me, that matters. Like Tim Taranto, yes, it's good. He's stepped up and you know scored massive, but I think really you got to take stock of it. And on the flip side, you can look at say Adelaide, where they had Brody Smith, Rory Laird, and Miller are all in the same team, along with Dodo, and these guys all scored pretty well. To me, that's encouraging that they were all together and scored pretty handily, whereas I'm just looking at the other situations going, let's just maybe pump the brakes a fraction.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing I think for me that I've noticed is that the coaches are definitely trying this ruckman forward just to see what that sort of is going to look like throughout the season. So we've just seen Nankervis, the Richmond games just finished when we're recording, and Nankervis just played pretty much entirely up forward, a little bit in the ruck. So it was more a forward role for him, and they're definitely trialing that out. But whether or not, I'm still just skeptical as to where they go during the season. So I think all the coaches are just sort of seeing where that's going. But I think this dual ruck thing is definitely real, and we're kind of seeing that playing into the coach's hands as well. Something else I learned is that Brandon Ellis is still shit. There was that hype was absolutely fake. Couldn't even do well in a JLT game. So that was absolutely just bullcrap. All right, let's get on to the My Boy Show. This episode is brought to you by the mock draft site, mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. Keep drafting. There's still some time before we get underway there, Steve.
Yeah, can I just say thanks to everyone who's supported that and actually subscribed. And we don't ask for money at all during the year aside from this time. So maybe even if you're not a fan on the mock site, maybe if you just wanted to support the show financially just a little bit, it's only $9. We'd really appreciate it because it sort of opens up a few things. We've had certainly a lot of requests for some things, but maybe we can upgrade Cam's mic at some point as well.
That'd be awesome. We ticked over 10,000 draft. That just shocked me when your brother Ross Jono put up the stat. Over 10,000 drafts in the preseason. Absolutely fantastic effort by everyone. All right, so we're getting to the My Boys. We're going to pick three players each from different position groups to talk about. And Cam, would you like to start off with your first My Boy?
Yeah, my first Your Boy is Patrick Dangerfield. Draft number one, as I was saying, drafted, I ran my draft last night. It was quite good. Patrick Dangerfield, I want him at number one. I think he's going to have a brilliant year. As we're seeing a lot in the JLT, and you'll hear the sirens in the background, just classic Paran. In JLT, the game is really opening up quite a lot. And so you're seeing those really powerful burst runners who have the tank to run all day do really well. Dangerfield was no exception in the Cats game, so he ended up on 108. He played a lot of the game, high game time percentage, especially for JLT, but I guess he's probably not going to play next week. I kind of expect him to go a little bit better than this in the actual season. I'd expect anywhere between 108 and 120 for an average, and I would lock that away with and throw away the key, rather.
Yeah, definitely. Jono, you want to take us through your first, My Boy?
Yeah, my first boy is the sick dog, James Sicily. I don't care what happened in JLT1 where he played predominantly forward because Hawthorn were playing the B squad and they needed a tall target. Yes, I know Timmy O'Brien did play a little bit in defence, but this is a guy who was top 2 and 3 in terms of Supercoach and AFL Fantasy last year. He has a massive ceiling, average 23 disposals, 7 marks as well. He's one of the best interceptors in the game. Clarko is going to need that down back, especially when you've got Chad Wingard injured and Tom Mitchell out for the season as well. So he's my first pick. I don't really care about JLT form, but I'm taking him pick 1 in our home league, and there it is on record.
He's probably really interesting in the fact that he's one of the few players who is going to be the main interceptor and take the kick-ins.
Yeah, exactly right. So I can't see that changing too much at Hawthorn once they get they're probably going to have their full strength next week in JLT too.
Yeah, I totally thought exactly the same when I was watching that. It's actually one of those ones where it's kind of glad that he's playing a different role and sort of potentially tricking, you know, the less experienced drafters about where he's going to go, because I think you're 100% on there. He was just playing forward as a different role because he probably will get swung up there a few times this year. So with my boy nomination, I think I'm gonna ignore the obvious ones because I've been harping on about my boys all preseason. I'm just going to ignore the obvious ones and go for some difference. So obviously Bailey Williams was mine, but I'm going to go Jaden Short. I've been drafting him in absolutely everything, and I've been finding out that he is now, you know, getting into that my boy sort of status. And you know, he showed something in the JLT one just then, and I think that, yeah, I've just been drafting him really early, and I think he's quite underrated, but maybe that might change after a bit of a showing. But, you know, he notched up a nice score, 96 and only 69% time on ground as well in the first JLT. You know, he's taken a few kick-ins, and the fact that Bashahuli was playing that game, it just, you know, it fills me full of confidence. All right, Steve, who's your my boy nomination?
Yeah, my first one is Jago O'Meara from Hawthorn. I think it's one of the more underrated seasons. I thought Jago's 2018, he really came back, played 20 games, and I thought played pretty well. But something I was touched on earlier about players who are in and players who are out, Hawthorn have just lost the number one AFL fantasy player in the game in Tom Mitchell. So there is a world of opportunity for possessions and tackles and goals for someone in the Hawthorn midfield. And I think it's Jager. He does all those things exceptionally well. He's a very strong tackler, wins the inside ball, wins the outside ball, and yes, hits the scoreboard as well. Going around pick 100, I love the upside. I think he can be a 110 midfielder. I know the jokes will be that he's been injured and missed those seasons, but to me, it looks like Hawthorn have finally got him right. He finished off 2017, played most of 2018, did miss the two games. That's fine. We didn't see him in JLT1, which I like. Keeps him a little bit hidden. Didn't have a big score. Hawthorn rolled out the B-side. But from all reports, O'Meara's preseason is off the charts. So I certainly like the potential he's got. Now, the one thing I will say that maybe is a negative, but I actually can see being a positive, is he's always played behind one of the biggest fantasy studs in the game. When he was at Gold Coast, he was behind Gary Ablett, and when he's been at Hawthorn, he's been behind Tom Mitchell. So maybe the tag goes to O'Meara, but I'm kind of hoping that it sort of goes more to your Isaac Smith, your Chad Wingard types, and O'Meara avoids it. And I think he can make up his when he has a low possession game with tackles, and it sort of doesn't kill you. I've seen him have, I think it was a 13 possession game last year, still at 8 tackles, still got you into the about 75-80 score. And so I kind of like that. And I just think he's a really safe pick with just enormous upside. Like, you got to remember, there is 130 points out of that Hawthorn midfield.
Yeah, people are a little bit skeptical taking him with the late sort of knee injury last year as well, and the recurring injuries. But he played, how many games did he play last year? I reckon he only missed 20. A couple as well. Yeah,
20.
Like, that was pretty solid. I mean, the late fact that he did it late in the season maybe putting a few people off as well, but that seems like a pretty nice choice there. Cam, who's your second cat?
So my second year boy is Christian Salem. So we're recording this just after the Demons game, JLT1, and you know what, he kind of didn't play exactly where I thought he was going to be playing, but that's probably due to the absence of Jack Viney and Nathan Jones and a couple of the other more established mids. Salem was basically running through the midfield. He attended a truckload of centre bounces, which is usually not really his game style. That being said, we did see what he can unlock out of the goal square as well, taking a high number of kicks out of that goal square, and I'd suggest that that's where he'll spend more of his time when those midfielders come back, with stints in the middle as well. He is on track for a big year after an escalating year last year. He was very good. He's brilliant with his left foot. Get on him now.
Yeah, I think you're watching that game through hungover eyes there, Cam, because I thought Christian Salem's in for a pretty cushy fantasy role. All the kick-ins were going directly to him, and he was using that burst of speed and long kick off the halfback slash wing to get that ball inside 50. So I reckon they could be using him as a launcher to get the ball into the likes of Wiedemann and Tommy Mack.
All right, Jono, who's your second aboard?
It's one of the South Australian... Oh, he's actually not a South Australian native. He's a Vic native, but plays for a South Australian team, and that's the Sloan dog, Rory Sloan. Grossly underrated in terms of fantasy, I think. He's sort of that one, when you see him, you'll pick him up, but he's never been put into that uber-premium category, even though his fantasy number's been fantastic, probably for the last 3 or 4 years. Only played 12 games last year through injury, and he seems like he's been around for a long time and might be pushing 30, but he's only 28, so still plenty of good fantasy left for Rory Sloan. He's a guy who gets his own pill. He's modicum of consistency. yes, he might be susceptible to the tag, but I think when you've got the Crouch boys there protecting him as well this year.
A bit.
A bit. A little bit. Trying to underplay it here. Actually, no. He hates a tag. Just fucking don't play him. So then he slides to me. We love the guys that win their own ball. He's a contested beast. Sam Jake has palmed the ball down to him. Currently going at 28 ADP in the Supercoach mock site and 57 in AFL Fantasy. So a bit of a bargain there in AFL Fantasy. Supercoach, and after the JLT hype scores, I think he gets a bigger bump there for Rory Sloane.
Yeah, plenty of the Crows got that huge bump. I think Steve did a nice little gif there on the weekend. There's definitely guys getting a
GIF
bump after that
GIF?
First JLT.
A gif?
I'm a gif man. I'm a GIF man.
That's a cleaning product.
It's a cleaning product. GIF. G-I-F. GIF.
I'm about the GIF. That's what I'm about. All right, I'll get on to my boy now. And look, once again, I think I'm going to ignore my obvious ones. Okay, so Fiorini, McCluggage, and Steele, who, by the way, carved the JLT, Jack Steele. Oh, goodness me, he's my boy. But I'm going with a guy in the mid that, you know, I'm calling it early. We're recording this before the Gold Coast game, and I've just been drafting him probably a bit too much, and this is what my boy is all about. Jack Bowes, I'm calling it, and especially in your ultimate footy where he's a defender. But this is before the Gold Coast game we're recording this. So this is before Fiorini goes out, gets 140, and Jack Bowes is not too far behind with 135. This is a pick that I don't mind. I don't mind the Jack Bowes, even with the mid status, going very late in your draft. So he's been one that I've been picking up a little bit, probably a bit too much, but that's what this is all about. It's my boy show. So I'm ignoring my obvious ones because I've been talking way too much about some guys this preseason. I acknowledge that. All right, now we'll get on to Steve, your second nomination.
Wait, what was Jack Bowes' analysis? It was just, I like him. All right.
He's my boy. Don't need much more than that. My boy.
That's piss poor, Dawson. My second one is old man Grandpa Cade Simpson, and he's going off the board as the fifth defender on the mock draft site in both fantasy forms. And I think it's really fair, but he's certainly someone I'm looking. If I'm picking a midfielder early, I'm looking for him on that 2-3 wrap. And I actually think he's one of the safer defenders. All right, if we run through the four going in front of him, so Rory Laird. So we've just seen Brody Smith come back. He probably takes all the kick-ins. Wayne Miller has gone into defence. Tom Duda should continue to score. I don't think Rory Laird's going to drop off a cliff at all, but we've got to remember how hot fire his start to last season was. Like, he was averaging like 40 touches a game. I'm not sure that's going to happen again. Certainly a very good player, but I think he comes back to the pack a little bit. Jake Lloyd, look, he's probably the safest of the other four, but he did have some big splits with and without Callum Mills in the team. But he certainly looks set to benefit from that rule. Lockie Whitfield did cop some tags and struggled. We know Shields left. Zach Williams is back in that team, so it might mean a little bit less ball for Lockie Whitfield, especially when Brett Deledio is getting all the pill on the wing. And Sick Dog, Jono's boy, did play forward in the JLT. I'm not sure that's going to continue, but maybe it's a McGovern-like, you know, every now and again he goes forward and it hurts you. But, you know, maybe some injury concerns, and he's prone to a suspension, Jono, as well. So Cade Simpson, none of those things. He just rolls out 20 games like clockwork, possible kick-in bump, 95 average basically every year. I find it really hard to see him sliding. So I just think he's a really safe pick on that 2-3 wrap. Nick Newman, I know there's a bit of hype, came in. I find it really hard to believe that he causes Cade Simpson to fall off a cliff, because I've seen Nick Newman play before. And I've also seen Cade Simpson average over 100 with a 110-plus averaging Sam Doherty in the team. So I'm pretty comfortable that Cade Simpson's going to be sort of a top seven defender at the very worst.
Yeah, hard to follow that one.
All right, Cam.
Yeah, this one actually was a really easy pick. George Hall and Smith. GHS from the GCS. He is... Look,
shit.
There is very little data to go off here. So let's open with that. But so last year, around 523. don't look at the next round because he only got 20. But basically, he was known as being the ultimate professional down at the Cats. He's a very, very, very talented inside midfielder, and he's finally getting a run in a first team, and he's been promoted to the leadership group at the Suns. So I reckon all the dominoes are falling into place for a very late pickup, taken with your last pick as a speculative, and, you know, be happy if it pays off.
Can I ask, like, I'm talking about these guys as though I'm going to draft them, like Cade Simpson, if he's there in the second round and the other guys are gone, I will probably take him. Did you take George Hall and Smith yesterday?
I got beaten to him. I'm not even kidding. So, of the boys...
Actually, how many of your guys did you get? We know
you got
Danger.
Salem and Danger, I got.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I totally would have taken GHS, but yeah, beaten to him. I'm thinking that maybe after today, as Doss said, we sort of recording this before the Suns game, he might get dropped to the FA, and then I'll take him.
I find it hard to believe he's someone I'm even using that spot on. I if he's your boy, you can't ever say I got snaked on him because you had every round to pick him.
There's only one round for him, though, and it's the last round. You can't take him beforehand. Yeah.
Still got snaked on him.
Yep.
All right, Jono, who is your final my boy this draft season?
Final boy, it's another South Australian. That is Travis Boak. Listed as a DPP mid-forward, average 88 Supercoach and AFL Fantasy last year. So where that fell, he was the 24th forward in Supercoach and the 15th forward in AFL Fantasy. So F2, F3 in that range. But one thing I've noticed, if he gets the mid-time with Wines out this year, that means he's going to get points boost, you would think. So that's going to put him up into an F1, F2 bracket. Now, where he's going on the mock side at the moment currently is 74 in AFL Fantasy and 104 in Supercoach. So that's the 10th and 8th round, or 11th and 8th round there. So that is massive value. And he's actually a player I'm looking to grab as my F1 if I do employ this tactic of grabbing a forward in the 8th or 9th round. So there's plenty of upside to Travis Boak this year. He is going to be one of my boys. And guess what? He's got some of the best time on ground, whether just because it might have been him playing forward, but that was up around the 80% last year. So he's got the time on ground. He knows how to get the ball. He kicks between 13 and 20 goals a season as well. So he's just got the all-round package, and he's something I'm very high on this year, is Travis Boak.
Yeah, nice one. All the mid-time.
Oh, I love it.
Hopefully in the world.
I love it.
Don't snake him in our home league, Steve, please.
Oh, you can't see, this is what gives me the shits. People go, oh, you snaked me. He's going in round 8 and 9. You've had 7 or 8 opportunities draft him. That's not a snaking.
No.
I'm gonna give my final pick, and this is gonna be an absolutely controversial backstepping, just the Homer Simpson backing into the bush meme of a pick. And I'll tell you what. He's my boy, even the amount of crap I've given him all preseason. Andy McGrath. I keep bloody drafting him way too. He's in bloody all my teams, and I've bagged him out. I've written an article bagging him out about how he can't. He ghosts it. He turns into a ghost after half time. He doesn't know how to find his own pill. And yet he's just sitting in every bloody draft team I have because I keep just having faith in the guy. Number one pick. The midfield move is tempting me a little bit. And God, he does score. I just find it really hard thinking that he'll go big, but then the temptation of if he actually kicks into gear just has me picking him in bloody everything. I can't escape it. It's unfortunate, but he's somehow my boy.
Yeah, I think you've just put way too much hype into JLT form and everything else there for Andy McGrath.
I'm really disappointed in you, Doss. Really disappointed. I loved your hot fire takes where you were just slandering Andy McGrath's good name to about face like this. It's beyond disappointing.
It's disgusting. I've got to be honest.
I really love it how he's gone with the treat him mean, keep him keen, but it's worked on himself.
I don't know what's happening, but he's in every team of mine, so he must be my boy. Steve, who's your final pick?
My final pick is Scott Lysette, ruck forward from Port Adelaide, just moved there, won his flag, got the hell out of Dodge. So really interesting, I think, really interesting. People will look at his average of 77 Dream Team and 81 last year, say not great. He's in a split ruck situation, not great. The reason I initially chose Lysette was I just don't trust Paddy Ryder's body at all. I really don't think he's going to hold up over the year. And interestingly enough, they've been playing him as a forward and training him as a forward. So that leads me to believe that Lysette's actually the number one ruck as opposed to the forward who rucks, which I kind of like. So it's really interesting. The one thing about the 2018 season is we know ruckmen take longer to come back off an ACL. That was his year off the ACL. So he's averaged 77 and 81 in a split role. I mean, that's actually pretty good. He really doesn't have to do a lot to improve on that to be an every week scorer for your forward line. The end of the year did suck for him, but if we look at the opposition he was facing, he went up against Steph Martin plus Gawn twice and Grundy twice. Like, they're not great matchups. You could easily, if you were drafting Lysette in, say, the 12th plus round, which is where he's going, you could easily bench him in that matchup. But the thing that interests me is 2016, he averaged 80 Dream Team and 83 Supercoach as the forward who rucked behind Nick Nat. So we've seen him actually average 80 plus in the bad reverse of that role. So if you're in the good reverse of that role, theoretically it should be better. And in that 80 and 83, there's a score of 8 Dream Team and 2 Supercoach. So potentially even better. What's interesting is there's 5 games where Nick Nat didn't play that Lysette did. In those 5 where he is the main ruck, average 90 Dream Team and 95 Supercoach. So I think Scott Lysette, he's actually going in a really interesting range. There's a lot of pretty nice forwards who are going in that range, like Jeremy Cameron and who else? Like Jack Riewoldt, etc. But the one thing that the ruck role provides you is actually a pretty safe sort of scoring range. Like, if you look at Jeremy Cameron, he'll give you 5 scores of 115 plus, but he'll also throw in a lot of 50s, whereas if you're the ruckman, you're going to be more consistent, so you're going to have that 80 baseline. I think it's a really nice pick, and the more I look at it, the more I'm interested.
Hey, all right, man, you could have just said he's your boy. Jeez.
Well, I'm trying to provide analysis here, Doss. It's
especially watching him, yeah. In that Port Adelaide and Adelaide game where Ryder did spend majority of the game deep forward and Lysette was everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is all the my boys we've got for you. But, Jono, those iTunes reviews are streaming in, and it looks like Steve's going to have to do that punishment with the 140 before round one well within reach.
Well, we're up to 121 ratings with about, what have we got, 2 weeks to go before the footy starts. So, geez, it's coming down to the wire here. But we've got a few reviews this week, kicking it off with Jim Bob Holder. And he says he's only reviewing to get to 140. He says, sure, I like the podcast. And yes, their advice is great and definitely helps me with my drafting, but I'm only reviewing to make it to hashtag 140 before round one, hashtag oh, yeah. Team DOS. Well, you are banned for life.
Jim Bob, come on, mate.
Jim Bob, secret. DOS, is that you? A pseudonym? Is that just you?
Actually, there's a fourth my boy pick coming in, and it is Jim Bob.
From Garb7, he says, great AFL fantasy podcast who posts regular, entertaining episodes filled with a lot of banter and useful info to help you win your fantasy league. And the last one comes from Rodimus Dynamo. He says, great insight and banter from the fellas. Love listening whilst in bed, as it also helps block out the snoring from his missus.
What a name, by the way. Rodimus Dynamo. That's awesome.
I'm just thinking of Rodimus Prime from the Transformers movie.
What? Rodimus.
Oh, Rodimus. All right. Hey, did you, Doss, did you actually come up with a bet? Because I came up with the, you have to write a children's novel, a picture story for Baby Fears if we come in under 140. Did you come up with something interesting, or you just taking, you just one of them?
Yeah. I was taking some advice from the listeners there, and I've taken a few into account, but no, I'm, you know, I'm lacking in the ideas department.
Just a slurb.
I'll think of something. Don't you worry about that. But no, you know, the ideas. I've been down in Narracourt all week, actually, so I haven't. My ideas are really struggling to flourish in the 40-degree environment down in Narracourt. But maybe I'll get something to you next week. Is there any final thoughts? Bit of a short episode here, but any thoughts coming up, boys? Steve,
don't believe in the JLT. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, just pick and choose what you believe. Use your eyes, use your intuition, and most of all, enjoy your drafts. People are starting to draft. Cam, you just drafted, obviously a bit early, but obviously with your league's situation, fair enough. But really, people, enjoy.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.